Trade wars. Why is it that canned tomatoes from Italy and China are much, much cheaper than the local product? How is that even possible, given the cost of bringing them here? I'd love to support local, but it's difficult when it affects your pocket. That is interesting. Like that previous text said, we need to up our game. All right. Speaking of upping our game, let's have an understanding of what's going to happen. If you're a bondholder and you're concerned about expropriation without compensation, Pierre Fentel, a general manager from Banking Association of South Africa, joins us next. He'd like to talk to us about whether and what your rights and responsibilities are if and when your land gets expropriated.
You're with Cape Talk.
This is Refilwe Maloto on Breakfast.
Right. So the Banking Association of South Africa has basically given us the perspective that the initial legal opinion on the impact of EWC shows that borrowers would still be liable for the full debt on their property, even if expropriation were to take place. So if you are paying your bond, you continue to pay that bond without the asset, the underlying asset. And that has everything to do with, of course, the loan agreements that the banks have in terms of secured, that they've secured by mortgages over the property. Pierre Fentel, welcome to Breakfast with Refilwe. Please help us understand how this works.
Morning, Phil, and morning to your listeners. I think what the position that you outline is correct. Essentially, when you take out a bond, the bond is actually the security for the loan. So your loan, whilst the bond may technically disappear because it has been, the property has been expropriated, the loan is still extant. So you are still responsible for a payment of that debt in terms of your loan agreement with a lender.
I suppose that makes sense insofar as, you know, the very real two words, without compensation. Had you paid off that mortgage, similarly, you wouldn't have been compensated for it. And so you need to continue with that payment.
Rufil, banks are in an invidious position. On the one hand, we need to safeguard the interest of our depositors where they can demand their money back overnight with interest. And on the other hand, we need to try to protect borrowers who are also our customers. And for that reason, what we have done back in 2011 already, we engaged with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. And we actually highlighted the potential impact that expropriation at below market value or at no compensation could have on the banking system. They actually accepted and recognized that. And when they put a paper in front of Cabinet in 2012, when they were looking to establish the Office of the Valuer General, they actually recommended to Cabinet, and Cabinet actually approved it, that this would be an unduly heavy burden on borrowers and banks, and therefore what the state needed to do is guarantee the difference between the compensation amount under expropriation and whatever the outstanding debt was.
Okay.
And unfortunately, what we haven't seen is this carried through either in the Office of the Valuer General Act or alternatively the various revisions of the expropriation bill. So we asked, you know, I think the process in terms of changing our constitution and the expropriation bill is still under review. There's still a way to go. And we are going to be approaching and have approached we've done a formal written submission already, and we want to present orally to the ad hoc committee, suggesting that it's absolutely essential that the state guarantees the difference in the outstanding balance in terms of their undertaking back in 2012.
Okay.
I think the other thing that we are asking for is, I think there's a lot of concern about the changes to our constitution and what this actually holds for property owners in South Africa. So, and we agree with that. We too are very concerned because, it's all about execution. If it's not carried out properly, it could be absolutely disastrous for everyone in our country, rich and poor, black and white, our entire economy, the banking system, and so on. So what we're actually calling for is that the ad hoc committee appoint an independent, credible research company to actually undertake a socioeconomic impact assessment to make sure that if they do make these changes to Section 25 in our Constitution and follow it through in a new Expropriation Act, that it will not bring our country to its knees.
All right. So, I don't want to get too alarmist. I mean, when we're speaking about the just and equitable compensation for expropriated land, I get you in terms of making the submission to ensure that government pays the difference between the outstanding balance and the asset. But how is that just and equitable between landowners who face expropriation, if that makes sense? So the fact that I decided to fund this asset using a mortgage versus a person who might have bought their house cash, what happens, what of that person who might, and what, let's say we are both landowners or who get nil compensation, it does put the bondholder at an advantage.
No, not at all. It puts us in a vulnerable position, if you will. I think if you look at Section 25(3) of our Constitution, which contains that formula about how you determine what is just and equitable compensation, it's very clear. You start at market value, mm-hmm. and you subtract from that four other instances which could justify that the compensation is below market value, so-called just and equitable compensation, and that would apply to all property owners in South Africa, whether there's a mortgage involved or not. So, if you look at senior legal opinion, and that includes former constitutional court judges, Sachs and Mosaneki, they've all suggested that there's no need to actually change Section 25 of our Constitution because it already allows for compensation to be below market value on a just and equitable basis.
Yes.
And just and equitable could lie between zero and above market value in some instances. So,
the land claims court affected that for years.
That's been there since 1996 when our constitution was put together.
Right.
And government has never really seen fit to exercise its rights in terms of just and equitable compensation, rather relying on an outdated Expropriation Act, which actually contradicts our constitution, they've tended to pay market value plus solatium, which is pain and grievance that a landowner incurs when their property is expropriated. But it's always been there. I think what the angst is about is what happens now going forward. Is government going to exercise its rights in terms of our constitution to affect expropriations on a more wide scale and robust basis than what they have done before?
And
it creates huge uncertainty and angst. And I don't think it's helpful that everybody overreacts at this point in time. I think we need to actually wait and see what the outcome is. Our president promised us that it wouldn't harm our economy and it wouldn't aggravate food insecurity in South Africa. And, we look to our president and his team to actually display that leadership and make sure that as we go forward, it happens in an orderly way which doesn't bring our economy down.
Okay.
We need
that. Yeah, I want you to, we're running out of time because unfortunately you've answered something that was not the question I was asking you, but I do want to just close out with something else. So the impact, the knock-on effect in terms of banks themselves, obviously there'll be an impact on extending credit, wouldn't there? I mean, because what happens if the secured, asset-backed securities,
yeah,
or asset-backed loans, of course, the banks would no longer have, for example, any recourse if there's some kind of a default, would they?
Absolutely. It would translate into losses for banks because essentially the assets have been taken, which underpin the loans that have been given, have been taken away at below market value. And that's the used market value against which we lend. What that does is has a twofold impact. And I think the one impact is existing loans, we cannot reprice. So those would translate into automatic losses and undue risk for lenders, which constricts balance sheets, which would force banks to either ration the loans that they give to the public or alternatively to reprice all their new loans upwards.
Correct.
And if the problem is severe enough, the banks would actually withdraw from lending to the sector.
Yeah. Okay. And that's where we arrest the banking system. And that's the risk we don't want to take. Pierre, we'll obviously keep a close eye on this. Thank you very much for helping us understand this a bit better. Pierre Fenter is one of the general managers of the Banking Association of South Africa.